Romans chapter 13 in your Bibles tonight. The blessings may go away. Miss Diane and Miss Nanette will take the blessings. It doesn't matter if Naomi's behind, she can catch up. Boy, that girl can run, I'll tell you. She's fast. None of these little boys can catch her. Romans 13 in your Bibles and verse number 11. Scripture says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, help me as I speak to your people to feed us through the word of God tonight and equip us for the things that we're going to face this coming week. Prepare us for the coming of the Lord and help us to be mindful, Lord, to live in expectation of your coming. Help us to use this season of the year as an opportunity for evangelism. And we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage reminds us that each day we awake, we are one step closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that day happens, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 and 52, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." It's going to happen immediately, like a lightning strike. The rapture is going to take place. We're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord. And once that takes place, we're caught up from the earth with the Lord. First of all, I remind you tonight that our work on earth will be over. It'll be too late then to witness to anyone. The work of the church will be finished. All the millions and millions of dollars that men have spent in trappings of buildings and chandeliers and all of that sort of thing, all going to be left behind. We're going to leave it all and go to be with the Lord, and our work here will be over. Our time is therefore limited, and we must remind ourselves that the imminent return of Jesus Christ means he could come at any time. We are to be expectant, we're to be looking, but we also ought to be evangelistic to help other people while we have the opportunity, because our time to do that is limited. Our chance for evangelism will be finished. Most of the time we get caught up in this present world we live in, living life. The raising a family, the going to work at the job, the activities that take place afterwards, the little bit of relaxation we get, the night's sleep, and get up the next day and do it all over again. And we get so caught up in living life that we sometimes just don't think about how soon the Lord's coming could be. It could be at any time. So we really don't sit around and consider his coming and have expectation and be, as Titus said, looking and living for the coming of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter, the Bible is clear for the reason why God has not come. God is not slack, like men are slack, like men forget to do things. You ever forget to do something? About three or four times a day, you know. Seems like, I blame it on being older, you know, but I've always had problems with forgetting things I'm supposed to do. I take on too many things, I don't write it down, and I forget to do something I'm supposed to do. And we have problems about that. I don't forget about the coming of the Lord, but I just don't think about the coming of the Lord often every day. And Peter said, God is not slack like men are slack. But it is because he is merciful that he has waited. Because God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Each day longer is another day that we have an opportunity to witness to unsaved people, to evangelize the lost, to encourage those that are out of church or not living for the Lord to get back where they need to be in expectation that Jesus could come at any time. Right now, much of the church's focus is on Christmas. We got some beautiful poinsettias up here. These two red ones on the table are live, and these two big red ones on the ground are live. The white one is not alive. So we have to water these. I watered them a little bit tonight. Sam watered them the other day. We try to keep them alive through Christmas if we can. And looking nice and pretty. And church is decorated. Linda Woodall did a lot of the decorating. Ann Mast and Lisa helped her and put up all these wreaths. And out in the lobby, all those pretty things. Rita was talking about them tonight. These little snowmen and things like that out there behind the doors and all. You know, that really make you think about the season of the year. And to focus on the Christmas holidays and the birth of Christ and the decorations and all that sort of thing. But in our world today, the commercialization has taken over Christmas. The marketers use everything possible to draw people's attention to buying gifts and spending money. And Brother Harry told me this morning that he believed the people on the street that he and Brenda live on have gotten into a competition to see who can put up the most Christmas lights, you know. And he said that on that street that more and more houses got more and more and more, you know. And they just keep adding to it. We came down the road the other day, this friend of ours home that we know, I've known all my life, and they've got so much decoration. If you go down Highway 161 through Newport and you go on past, going toward York, there's a house on the left there. When they widen the road, you know, their house seems like it sets down now. You know, the road's higher than the house. And they've got so many decorations, just unbelievable. And I told Joy, we came by there in the daytime the other day. I said, that's a little bit gaudy and tacky, isn't it? She said, it's gaudy and tacky at night, too. I said, okay. I wasn't going to say that, but that's about what I was thinking, too. A little bit too much. Commercialization of lights and trees and decorations and wreaths have affected the church as well. And we decorate too. We want to think about things like that. We're not worshiping these things. We're worshiping the Son of God. But we put up some of these things to celebrate the Lord. Now, some will have time off and go through all kinds of celebrations. Some people will just vacation, use it as a holiday. Remind people when they say to you, happy holidays, say, did you know that the word holidays comes from the Bible word holy days? And that's why holy days and holidays usually fall at the same time period. They come from the holy days of the Lord for time off, and people call them holidays, but it really means holy days. So if they don't say Merry Christmas, they say Happy Holidays, you can still tell them what Happy Holidays means, you know. It's still worshiping the Lord either way you do it. But there'll be many pagan celebrations. There'll be drunk parties and office parties and drinking and celebrations like that. And they'll sometimes do it in the name. They'll thank God for their time off and for their Christmas bonus and some of that kind of thing, you know. But they're certainly not worshiping the Lord in the way that they will act. We ought to capture the moment of opportunity to focus as the world does think about Christ and does think about the babe born in the manger to tell them the rest of the story. To help them to know about Christ and the gospel message, his death, burial, and resurrection, and how he came into this world so that he could go to the cross and die for their sins and save their soul. Secondly, when we study Christ coming again, we focus on the imminent return, that it could happen at any time. Because Romans tells us now is the time to prepare. Now is the opportunity. We're to be looking and living for the coming of the Lord, Titus said in chapter 2 and verse 11 through 15. I like that expression, a window of opportunity. And we have a window of opportunity that is closing every day just a little more for the coming of the Lord. And we can witness, we can preach, we can teach, we can pass out literature, we can have celebrations like next Sunday night where we invite folks to come for special music and a reading and a message. And all of these things we can do focusing on the fact that we don't know how many opportunities. We may not have a next year's Christmas because we may be in heaven with the Lord when that day comes. Our message is a message of joy for all people. It is a message of gladness of good tidings. It is a message of hope. It is a message of assurance. It is a message of redemption and deliverance from sin, from its penalty and from its power. Isn't that something everybody ought to want to hear and want to learn about? But Satan has many people blinded. And so we have to keep going back. We have to keep reasoning with them. We have to keep giving them opportunity and sharing the gospel with them. The power of salvation is in the gospel message. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, Jew and the Greek. And so we share the gospel message. You say, well, they don't believe it. Keep sharing it anyway. It has a power to work on their heart. You don't know what people do when they lay down at night and they start thinking or they start dreaming. You know, it might be like Scrooge. They may wake up in the middle of the night and realize they need to get right with God while they have an opportunity, or it might be too late. Cleansing of all unrighteousness, justification with God. I think everybody ought to want to know that message, and if they could get through the trappings of pride and rejection because the pleasure of sin, they should want to run to church and get saved and get into the fold. Christians, we need to awake out of apathy, awake out of lethargy. The Bible in Romans 13 calls it sleep, and that's what it's talking about, that we get away from forgetting, that we get away from not focusing, that we get away from having our focus on the wrong things, and that we get our focus back on the coming of the Lord, and today is closer than what it was yesterday, and tomorrow morning if we live and wake up, it'll be even closer still. Put on the armor of light that we might show people the way out of darkness. You ever been lost in the dark? That's a scary feeling, you know. You don't have to get too far lost in the dark to have a scary feeling. I've been in the Vietnam jungles at night on patrol. No light whatsoever. Nobody smokes a cigarette. Nobody used a flashlight. And the only flashlight that was used, we had to put it inside our shirt and wrap our shirt closed and put it on a compass and hold it there for a few seconds and then turn the light off, and then we could take a compass out and we could see the dial, luminous dial, to be able to walk in the right direction. And you could trip a booby trap at night 100 times faster than you might step on one in the daytime. It was a scary thing. You can hear sounds in the night that you don't hear in the daytime. And those sounds will have a different effect on you at night than they do in the daytime. I challenge you, the next cloudy night when there's no moon and no stars out there, go out in your yard away from the night lights and everything and just walk around a little bit in the dark. Don't fall down and get hurt now. It's like the preacher calls that, you know. Just remind yourself how scary it is. When little kids get up in the night in the house and the house is dark and they're scared, you know. They're afraid of the dark. That's a common thing. People ought to be afraid of the dark. What happens to adults is they stop being afraid of the dark, the darkness of sin. They get used to it. They get accustomed to it. They get to liking it because the light would reveal their sin. Why do criminals break in and steal in the dark? Because the light would expose their deeds the same way with sin. Now, maybe it's important that we take every opportunity that we can in this season of the year of Christmas to be a witness for Christ, to get back to the importance of sharing Christ with the world and making sure that people know the Lord as their Savior. Maybe before Christmas, you and your family could take a little project. You'd take an hour or two and just maybe after supper at night, go out and go down your street and take tracts and pass them at house to house to house. If we got any, we don't have any more of the cards, but Libby made up some half pages of the announcement for Amazing Grace. I think they're supposed to be out there somewhere. Anybody see them this morning? Were they out there this morning? Okay, they're out there. And you could take a few of those and pass them out on the streets you live on. You can have a little prayer meeting with your family and remind them of the importance of this season, how we can use it to evangelize, to witness to others, to invite people to church, to be an expectant church and help our family see the importance of evangelizing with the urgency of the moment. We don't know how much time we have. But it's important that we live as if everything we're going to do depends upon us in reaching people with the gospel. Make it a little project for your family. Maybe you visit your street. Maybe you, I think Sam and Amber taught me something a year or two ago. They made some cookies and took to their neighbors and invited them to come to a special project we had here at church. And that gets somebody's attention. You bring them something sweet, you know, and invite them to church. They might be twice as likely to come because they might think you're going to have something else for them, you know, if you do that. It's just a matter of planning. It's just a matter to plan your work and then work your plan. We'd all be willing to do that, but we don't think about it. We're busy. We're caught up living life. We've got so many activities going on. But let's stop and take time to pray for the people in our neighborhood, in our street, in our family, and our friends. And if you don't know anybody, or you've already visited everybody on your streets, just stop on a street on the way to church and invite some people to the church. Miss Gwen motivated several of us a week or so ago to go to the Christmas parade in Fort Mill and pass out invitations to the people lying in the streets for the Christmas parade. Now, her and Bob Reed met with me at the Bilo parking lot way up here where Bilo used to be in Fort Mill, and they parked there and walked all the way from there to downtown Fort Mill. Only way I'd have done that was if there was a bear behind me or something, you know. I drove all the way back through town and back by here and back through the park and went over to the other side of town and parked and just walked down to the bottom of Main Street and started right there. You know, I couldn't even get all the way up Main Street before the parade started because there were so many people down there on that end. And I took the time to talk to each one rather than just pass out stuff and keep walking. I introduced myself. I told them who I was, where the church was located, and asked them did they have a church home, and encouraged them if they did, and if they didn't, invited them to come. And I met a couple of families that were honest and said, no, we don't go to church anywhere. You know, I said, you're just the people we're looking for, you know, and invited them to come. You said, well, they didn't come today, did they? No, but you got to remember, you don't get everybody you go after. But if you're faithful to go after people, God will send some in you didn't go after. So if you don't go after the ones you don't get, you won't get the ones you didn't go after. You know, you got to keep going after them. Make it a project. Make it a family project. Make it an urgent project. Encourage other people because you willing to do things encourages others just like Miss Gwen encouraged us. And I urge you to do this between now and December 25th. Or 24th is the church service, so we don't have much time. That's just 2 weeks away. I hope you men have been Christmas shopping for your wife already. The time, hour's getting late. The time is at hand. Maybe you know somebody who lives in your neighborhood that's on hard times. Maybe you could do something for them as a project, as a family. It doesn't have to be a major, major thing. Just something to encourage somebody and show them Christian love and invite them to church and give them the gospel message and that sort of thing. Maybe a neighbor or maybe a neighborhood that you don't live in, that you would go and put door hangers or invite people or whatever the need may be. We need to be enlightened that the Lord is nearer than when we believe. We need to be enthusiastic about casting off darkness, and we need to be energetic about putting on the armor of light and walking in the light that we might be able to show others the way. Next, there's the being mindful the unsaved are going to be left behind. Many of them are going to die lost and spend eternity in the lake of fire. We're going to ask ourselves in that day, did I tell everybody that I could have told? Did I share the gospel with the people I rub shoulders with every day, the people that are related to me, the people I live near, the people I know? Did I tell everybody that I could have told? You still have opportunity to do that because Jesus hasn't come, but he could come at any time. And so let's get motivated about the urgency of what we're doing. The Thessalonian believers had an expectation about the coming of the Lord. They had a motivation, the Bible refers to wait for God's Son from heaven who delivered us from the wrath to come. Now that term to wait in the Greek language is anamenion. Anna means up and menion means to wait for. You know how little kids get excited on Christmas Eve night about Santa coming and about Christmas Day and all that sort of thing? And they get so excited they don't want to go to bed. And they want to get up early and run and see what's under the tree for them. You know, they have that excitement and expectation. Well, the Bible says those in Thessalonica waited up for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They waited with an expectation. They had an excitement about the coming of the Lord. Have you ever had excitement about the Lord's return in that way? We're supposed to wake up from our sleep and cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light and be the soldiers of the cross so people will know how to get to the cross and get saved. We need to be found faithful in our church assembly, encouraging those who have stumbled, encouraging those who've faltered in the way. Probably everybody sitting here, unless you're from out of town, knows somebody that used to go to church but no longer does. I remember the story when I was over helping a fellow named Larry Trull. He had gotten saved and was coming to the church, and his family got saved and baptized and became part of the church, and they were building a new house, and I went over to try to help him nail a few boards up or something one day, and he had these two carpenters working for him. And he said, he told one of those carpenters, tell the preacher your story. And I asked him if they were saved, and he said, tell the preacher how you got saved. You know, so the one fellow said, when I lived here in Fort Mill, this guy tried to get me to go to church all the time. He invited me all the time, and he said, I never would go with him. He said, and I moved off, and he said, God got a hold of me, and he said, I got scared I was going to die and go to hell. And he said, I called him up in the middle of the night, and I said, hey, man, you got to tell me how to be saved. And he said, the phone was just silent. And then in just a little bit, the fellow said, man, I'm not even going to church anymore. He said, I'm not the one to tell you how to be saved. He said, let me give you my preacher's number, and you call him, and he'll tell you how to be saved. And I thought, how tragic it is that we who know the truth could become so lax and so slack that we would be unwilling to tell somebody else how to be saved or feel unworthy to tell the message. It's not based on our worthiness, it's based on Christ's worthiness that we can share with them how to be saved in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be found faithful in assembling ourselves in the church. And we should try to encourage others. Hebrews says, so much the more as you see the day approaching, we are to encourage others to be faithful in the house of God, assembling with the believers. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. They were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. And I wonder, are we trying to get the sheep back into the fold, or are we just aggravated with the crowds of the sheep that we run into? Soon it's going to be over. One day Christ is going to take us to heaven, and it'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll be too late to call anybody on the telephone, too late to go visiting, too late to say I need to tell my loved one. The time is now to pray, the time is now to go, the time is now to be a witness. Lost people are blind to the gospel truth. Satan is keeping them blind. We've got to show them the way out of darkness into the light, and God can translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light if they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a simple thing for a person to be saved? People are anxiously waiting on Christmas right now, anxiously waiting on Amazon to deliver what they've ordered for Christmas. Anxious to have Walmart call them and say, your gift is here. It's time for you to come by and pick it up that you ordered from Walmart.com. People are anxious for the weekend to go away. People are anxious for retirement coming so that they can relax from their many years of hard work. But are we as anxious about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? We've been delivered from the wrath that is to come. That is a present reality that we live in. We are justified by faith, made righteous before God, and we're being saved to the uttermost because of our faith in Christ. We can tell others what He has done for us. Never forget about the blind man when they asked him about Jesus, if Jesus was a sinner or not. And the blind man said, I don't know a whole lot about Him, but I know this, I was blind, and because of Him, I can now see. You see, you can tell people what God did for you. You can share your testimony of what God has done in saving you, of helping you to be saved. We can warn people about the judgment that is to come before it's everlasting too late. Romans said it's time for us to wake up and put on the armor of light and be expectant. Let's evangelize. Let's make it urgent. Christmas is here. Let's use this as a golden opportunity to get people's focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and on their need of salvation. That's why He came, to die for their sins, that they might be saved. Let's stand together. Father, we love You and thank You for Your word. Pray that You'll motivate us to be thinking about the coming of the Lord. Lord, I don't sit around every day and think about Your coming. I'm ashamed I don't think about it more than I should. But I've been preparing messages for every Sunday night for months on the coming of the Lord, and it's got me thinking a lot more than I did. And I pray that You'll help me when the series is over not to stop, but always be aware that Christ could come at any time. My standing before You to give an account will take place. The urgency of the hour that when you come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We won't have any opportunity to second guess. We'll be gone to be with the Lord forevermore. So help us to do what we can while we can by the grace of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.